Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We're three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast where we're all living the vida locked down. But now we're free. But the rest of the country's a bit locked down, so
a little bit.
See how you bastards like it for a while.
We take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine, and we try to make some sense of it and each other. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I am drinking the Elephant of the Room Merlot. The Elephant of the Room this evening is
beans.
Yeah, Amy and I got up rather early for something very special, which will be coming up. Yeah, just you wait, listeners. Sarah, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking Somersby cider because, well, I didn't leave my house today. And I didn't get up for this something special. So just so everyone knows, that's all Amy and Bianca. I stayed in bed.
Because you're a trooper.
Because I'm such a trooper. I decided they don't need me. Sarah needs sleep. So I'm drinking Somersby cider.
Nice. Oh, I am drinking a new fave, which is called Feet on the Ground Merlot. And it's part of my wine pyramid scheme, which I love so much. And, yeah. Feet on the ground. That's where my feet need to be because my head is somewhere else. Sorry about it.
Okay.
All right, Bianca, what's our topic for tonight?
All right. So our topic tonight is travel roulette. So like as the name implies, this week we are going on an adventure, like three Ooh. Hobbits from the Shire.
About the same height, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my feet are just as hairy. Yeah.
And I live in a hovel.
Yeah. So we went on one of our weekly meetings. We went to a random city generator website. We hit shuffle and we delegated randomly. I put all my money on black and the country I won was Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. So, golden beaches and lush mountains, samba-fueled nightlife. Or is it samba or samba?
Samba.
Samba?
Rumba. Samba, samba, samba.
Yeah, samba. All right, so samba-fueled nightlife and spectacular football matches. Welcome to this, I can't say this, Cidade. I did not practice any of these words. Oh.
Bold up.
let me murder this. Cidade Maravilhosa. Yep.
Nailed it.
Nailed it in the Aussiest way I could. All right, so first some history. Portuguese rulers were the first ones to rule Rio when they landed on the soil of Guanabara Bay on the 1st of January 1502. The bay forms the opening of a river, hence the name Rio de Janeiro, which means River of January. The French wanted to make the best of the strategic position Rio had in the Brazilian region and tried to achieve a foothold in the city, but were debarred from the city after 2 years of intense war. So the Portuguese, to protect from further invasions, the city was moved to a safer position on the hill. Like, they just picked up the houses. We're fucking up. We're going over there. Screw you guys.
Bye.
We're over here. Yeah. You're a cunt. Bye.
Bye.
So once we're up on the hill, they later decided to name it Castle Hill. Real original. Yeah. And then Rio developed economically. As it continued to cultivate a sugar cane, which is its traditional crop, subsequently gold and diamonds were found in the Minas Gerais area, which, Lord of the Rings. And after this discovery, many hobbits traveled there to throw rings. I don't know. but really, many other European countries tried to capture Rio.
The land is overrun by hobbits.
Yes.
For so many years.
So many years. Yeah.
They used to ride the dwarves.
They used to ride the llamas.
Into battle.
Yep. Yep. So majestic.
Just like the one in 1763. So, yes, they did. They rode into battle against many other of the European countries because fuck those guys. So in 1763, the capital region was actually shifted from Salvador to Rio de Janeiro because it was so sought after. However, like, the economic prominence did not last long. Like, as Rio entered the 19th century, sugarcane production faced stiff competition from other South American countries, and the gold and diamond reserves also dwindled, leading Rio on a path of an economic crisis. To prevent this situation, it started exporting coffee, and the Portuguese royal family resettled in Rio. During their 13-year rule, Rio expanded economically, and the city started spreading out to its edges as new buildings started cropping up with modernized infrastructure. So when the Portuguese left, Brazil finally achieved its independence. When Brazil achieved it, the independence in 1889, Rio was named the capital. With years passing by, Rio changed in terms of infrastructure and financially. The central zone was demolished to expand the city. The land was being reclaimed to build the central business district. Hills were being wiped out and were used to fill in the marsh areas. The city was divided into three zones. The north zone became the industrial area, along with some residents of the working sector, while the south zone was limited for wealthy people only. So after World War II, Rio shifted from an agricultural economy to an industrial economy. Bridges were built between important cities, skyscrapers were constructed, and freeways were developed. The population of the city increased in gigantic proportions, and this turned out to be a curse. Even if labor needed the industries to develop, laborers were in excess, and the number of poor and unskilled people increased. This situation exists still today and still puts intense pressure on Rio's resources. And Rio is one of the most populated cities in the world. Yeah, so it's actually a bit of a downer. Sorry about it. They haven't since since they increased so much in such a short amount of time, and then the population boomed as it did after the war. Like every time there is a war, population has a boost because men come back from the war and they're just like, yeah, they're pretty happy about that. So that happens, and the resources were stretched thin and it just hasn't gotten any better. In the 1960s, the capital of Brazil was actually moved from Rio to Brasilia and then later to Sao Paulo to reduce the economic and financial pressure on Rio. So they tried. Political power.
Just fucking bailed. Not this is shit. Bye.
Yeah, they are the equivalent of a participation award. That's what they are. Yeah, you tried. Yeah, well done. Yeah, so the political power was moved to the interior of the country, so away from the coast. Today, along with its different ethnic groups, Rio is making its presence felt in the industrial service and tourism sector. Major multinational companies have their headquarters in Rio, and the city does have its influence on the Brazilian economy as a whole. So anyway, now with that awesome history out of the way, I'm just going to go through some fun things I found to do and about Rio. So let's start with the beaches. Yes.
I'm in Rio and I'm walking down the beach. I'm in my Speedo.
When we go to Brazil, Sarah, we're doing that.
Yeah. Although I don't want to be wearing a Speedo, personally. I'd rather full bathers.
You can wear your shorts under it. It's fine.
No, just Speedo. You can have your boobs out. It's Rio.
Yeah, no.
I'm doing it.
Right, you're over the top of your shorts, mate. You're Batman. This is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can wear your shorts. We're not going to shame you for being a never nude. We would never do that.
Yeah, sorry. I don't need people pointing out that I am a great white whale trying to get me back into the sea.
Mate, you'll be in a sea of great white whales. It's fine. You'll be one of the pod. That's how we'll find each other. Where'd they go?
That was whale for you're a cunt.
Bye.
Anyway,
back to Bianca.
Back to Rio's beaches. So they have long seduced visitors. Copacabana Beach has become a symbol of Rio. And this started during the 1940s. So this was when international starlets would jet in just for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But hogging the spotlight these days is Ipanema Beach. Its fame and beauty unabated. For karaoke's, which is residents of Rio, I probably said that very wrong. Sorry about it.
Karaoke's, yep.
The karaoke's, yeah. The beach is Rio's backyard. A playground is free and open to all, offering endless enjoyment in the form of football, volleyball, surfing, snacking, drinking, or simply relaxing amid the passing parade of people.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, it really had me at snacking.
You had me at Speedo, Sarah.
Okay, so let's move on to the music, because what would a story about Rio be without music? So it's Rio's lifeblood, absolutely. And the city's soundtrack comprises of rock, old school bossa nova, hip hop, funk, and Brazil's many regional styles. Above all, there's samba and rapid fire style of music with African influences and an infectious beat that is synonymous with Rio. Yes.
Oh, I can't wait to get white girl wasted and go dancing there.
Yes. You can hear it all over town. But the soul of samba resides in Lapa, the red light district. That's home to dozens of live music halls and an enormous weekend street party that draws revelers from all walks of life. Samba is also the integral sound during Carnival and the danceable backing music to street parties and all-night-long parades.
Love a parade.
Yeah.
Love parades.
Yep. And speaking of Carnival, Rio knows how to party. Whether you call it Joie de Vivre. Oh, sorry. I think it might be, oh God, I don't even know, because would it be a huh for a J? Hoi de, because it's Portuguese, I don't know. Or is it German and it's just, Portuguese is like, it's just crap. It's like pig Latin Spanish. Whether you call it, I'm going to say like this, Joie de Vivre, Lebensfreude. Lebensfreude is German. Lebensfreude, I don't know. Or in English, lust for life. Let's just say that. And then the karaoke's have it in spades.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Carnival and the build-up to it is the most obvious manifestation of this celebratory spirit. But Rio has many other occasions for revelry. Oh, gosh, that's really hard for me today. Celebrations after a big soccer match. Weekend summer parties around town. I think it's Bailey. Bale funk parties? Bailey Bale. I don't know. let's say Bailey. Bailey funk parties in the favelas, slums, or informal communities, and boat parties on the bay. Not to mention major fests such as Revelación, New Year's Eve, and the Festus Juanas. See, I would say that it's Juanas, not Janinas. anyway, I had to finish off because this thing about Rio would not be complete without it. Let me talk about Cristo Redentor, or in English better known as Christ the Redeemer statue. Or as my daughter said one time when she was four, hey, that guy.
Hey, that guy.
Yeah, she saw it in a magazine. She's like, hey, look, it's that guy. Like, yeah, that guy. Yes. You mean Jesus Christ. Cool.
I know that guy.
Yeah, that guy. It's my pal. Standing atop Corcovado, or Crocovado, which means hunchback, Cristo Redentor gazes out over Rio, a placid expression on his well-crafted face. The mountain rises straight up from the city to 710 metres. And at night, the brightly lit 38-metre-high open-arm statue, all 11,045 tonnes of him, is visible from nearly every part of the city. And it was constructed between 1922 and 1931. Corcovado lies within the Parque Nacional de Tijuca. I think that's how you would say that, Tijuca. The most popular way to reach the statue is to take the red narrow gauge train that departs every 30 minutes and takes approximately 20 minutes to reach the top. So originally, Vincentian priest Pedro Maria Boss first suggested placing a Christian monument on Count Corcovado in the mid-1850s to honor Princess Isabel, who was the regent of Brazil and the daughter of Emperor Pedro II. But the project was not approved. In 1889, the country became a republic, and due to the separation of church and state, the proposed statue was dismissed. And I found that very, very interesting, because there's not a lot of time that church and state, you know, is a separation and is actually separated. Like,
yeah, there's a difference between saying it and actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So I found that very interesting and very diplomatic, and yeah, I was rather impressed. The Catholic Circle of Rio made a second proposal for a landmark statue on the mountain in 1920. The group organized an event called Semana do Monumento, which is Monument Week, to attract donations and collect signatures to support the building of the statue. The organization was motivated by what they perceived as godlessness in the society.
Mm-hmm. We're godless.
Yeah, yeah, too much samba and drinking and boobies. No, we're too godless.
And in speedos.
Yeah, and in speedos. Yeah. On the beach. Yeah. So most of the donations actually came from Brazilian Catholics. The designs considered for the statue of Christ included a representation of the Christian cross, statue of Jesus with the globe in his hands, and a pedestal still symbolizing the world. The statue of Christ the Redeemer with open arms, a symbol of peace, was chosen. Yeah, that's it.
You said 11,000. Can I just clarify that's 1,145 tons?
Oh, yeah, it was 1,142. Yeah.
45. Yeah. Okay. 45. Not 11,000.
No, higher than, like, Everest. I'm sorry about it. It's not in space.
Look at you fact-checking things, Sarah. I'm so proud of you right now.
She wrote it down.
Sorry. I am sorry. I was putting in 110%.
She was putting in 110%. I just needed to bring her back a little. Okay.
Well, excuse me. I'll get back in your box.
I'll get back in my cage now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not using it at the moment.
No, you need yours.
Yeah, you need yours. You and that gag that you somehow ate, you weirdo.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah, that's Rio. I'm definitely down for everything. I'm in.
Yeah.
So, shall I kick off with my segment?
Yeah.
Spin that wheel. What are you putting it on? A red, black, or a number?
Ooh.
I put mine on black, so.
Always bet on black.
Yeah. Yeah. Statistically, yeah.
All right. Well, this week in our round of, in our first round of Travel Roulette, because I feel like this will be a feature of Friday Night Lights.
Oh, I hope so.
Right? Because this was fun. Yeah.
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 I got Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, I don't even know if my accent's right for Tennessee. But anyway, whatever. It's in the United States of America. Now, I'll start off by saying I've never been to Nashville. I have been to America before, but I have never been to Nashville. So all I know about Nashville is the love of music, and I think they're more of the country persuasion, I think. So it's really not my thing, but after doing my research, no, in fact, it's actively something I hate. Anyway, so after researching this, I realized, though, that their love of music is really, like, bone deep. They love all types of music. So I'm actually now quite excited to go to Nashville one day. So let me tell you some fun facts about Nashville that I found in my research. Nashville is located in the central area of the United States. It is the capital of Tennessee and is the 23rd most populous city of the USA. Nashville was founded in 1779, and in 1862, it was the first capital in the Confederacy to fall to Union troops. Now, for those not familiar with American history, which admittedly I am not, during the Civil War in America, there was two sides, the Union from the North and the Confederacy from the South. So they were the first Confederate capital to fall to the Unions. Yeah, it's a little interesting tidbit. The city is home to many colleges and universities, and looking at the climate data, it looks very much like Melbourne weather. So winter sees temperatures of around 12 degrees, and then in summer around 27, so maybe a little bit colder than Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. Slightly. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the most interesting thing to me about Nashville is the music scene. According to www.visitmusiccity.com, Music City is a nickname for Nashville. This is what they say about Nashville. The music scene in Nashville is as diverse as the songwriters and musicians who make up the community. You already know that you can find free live music 365 days a year at the Honky Tonks. Honky Tonks are like dive bars. Yeah. They're places like we would hang out. Yeah. But you can also find America. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We are honky tonk women. Yeah. But you can also find Americana, rock, pop, hip hop, and just about any other genre of music at a variety of venues around town. Whatever you are in the mood to hear, you can find it in Music City.
Awesome.
Nashville is also home to the Music City Walk of Fame, which is similar to the Hollywood Star Walk and honors more than 70 music stars from all genres of music.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
just
we have to do that.
Just a memory from the back of my brain.
Wait. I know something.
Yeah, I know something.
It's like rediscovering an old friend.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I remember you.
I know you.
I know you.
I don't know where I know you from, but I know you.
There's also many music museums, so this hits the nerd in all three of us because, as I think we said last week in our last episode, yeah, we're kind of big nerds. Yeah. Underneath this disheveled, kind of mild alcoholic idiot is a big nerd. Yeah, big
Absolutely.
One. Mm-hmm. Big nerd.
Yep.
There is also many museums to see in Nashville of the music variety, such as the Johnny Cash Museum, the National Museum of African American Music, the Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum, and the Country Music Hall of Fame, just to name a few. Swing, do you want to know?
Swing, paddleball swing, paddleball swing.
Strap one. Do you come here often?
Strap two.
Hey, baby
watch your sign.
Oh, God. Just kill me.
Oh, my God. I love that song so much.
All right. Do you want to know some famous people who were born in or once called Nashville home? Do you want to know?
Yes.
Do you want to know?
Yes.
Well, obviously, there's a museum named after this bloke, and he's the first one on my list. So, yeah, Johnny Cash, obviously. Kelly Clarkson, Sheryl Crow, Billy Ray and Miley Cyrus, Ben from Ben Folds 5.
Oh, really?
And her husband, Tim McGraw, which I didn't have in my notes, but I just remembered that off the top of my head. Kesha. Kesha. Like, why?
Kesha. Wow. Okay.
Kings of Leon, like all of them. Little Richard. Little Rich.
Oh, yeah. I think I knew that. Sure. Yeah.
Willie Nelson, obviously.
Obviously.
Dolly
Obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. Donna Summer. Steven Tyler.
Definitely didn't pick it.
Didn't pick that one.
Keith Urban and
Keith Urban, no.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean no? I'm so confused.
I'm so confused. What do you mean no?
Keith Urban. Keith Urban's not from Nashville.
What?
Not from Nashville. It was famous people who were born in or once called Nashville home. Oh,
so he must have lived there because
No, he's Australian, mate. We know that. Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought, oh, born there. Yeah, okay.
No.
He wasn't. I wasn't listening to you fully, like I ever do. Fuck.
I was thinking born there as well.
Oh, thank God.
That's like, I just don't pick it. I don't pick it. The accent's like in my mind. The accent's not right.
Yeah. And then when I saw Keith Urban, I'm like, no.
Do you see what I'm dealing with, people? Do you see what I do so much when I'm now
on a daily? On a daily.
Famous people who were born in or once called Nashville home. That's what I said. We recorded it. Do you want to go back and listen?
I'll do that later.
So Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman do reportedly still have a home in Nashville, which I think they spend most of their time there. I think they own homes in Sydney and somewhere else as well. But anyway, Shania Twain, Taylor Swift. Now, she doesn't live there predominantly, but she does spend a bit of time there because she is, well, once upon a time she was a country music artist. She also owns properties in LA and New York. So I think it's like her country home. It's the country.
I love her.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but anyway, literally the only actress that I could find other than Nicole Kidman was Reese Witherspoon. Yeah,
makes
a lot of sense.
Everybody else was music people. So yeah. Okay. And lastly, fun fact: Australian-born musician Tommy Emmanuel. So you know that dude that could do all that crazy guitar shit when we were growing up?
Yeah,
he also now resides in Nashville.
Huh. Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Another fun fact, the show that we watch sometimes on HGTV called Listed Sisters, do you know the twins, Alana and Lex?
Yeah.
They're based in Nashville. Another fun tidbit, Oprah was the first African-American news anchor, at Nashville's WTVH TV station.
Oh, yeah, I think I knew that.
That's a trivia one, that one. Yeah, that'll come up in trivia. So when I was looking at some stuff on Nashville, I was looking for some fun facts, and I came across an article called 12 Things Everyone in Nashville Should Avoid at All Costs, and the top one was the CMAs.
I'm only there for one song and they won't play it. I'm going to get mad and tell them I'm old and I've got work tomorrow.
Just going to be in the back yelling, play horses. So if we three ever decided to venture to a Nashville, I think we'd have an awesome time because one, Tunes.
Yeah.
Tunes.
Yeah.
History and museums. And we're big, 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 big nerds. Big
yep.
ones.
Yeah.
Big nerds. Big nerds. Yep. Big nerds.
Much nerds. Such big.
Oh, big. Big nerds in Speedos. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are loads of bars, like bars everywhere. Loads of bars. And yeah. So I think, well, we're in for that. And did I mention the tunes?
Yeah. No. There's tunes.
Tunes. Did you know there's tunes in Nashville? Did you know?
Did you know there was a walk of fame for music? Yeah. I didn't. So I remembered.
Normally when we go anywhere, it's a walk of shame, and it's the three of us coming home together. It's someone got the hour and someone's missing a shoe and someone's hair's all fucked up and nobody's wearing makeup anymore. So, yeah, yeah. It's great. Anyway, I actually really enjoyed researching a little bit about Nashville because, to be honest, not something that's on my list of places to go, but considering where it is in America, I think it might be like a fun little stopover. Somewhere.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Did I mention there's tunes? Did I mention there's tunes?
Yeah, no, I don't think you did.
No, I don't think I mentioned tunes. Yeah. Oh, just lost.
What kind of tunes did they have?
What? All the tunes. They had all the tunes. Yeah. All of them.
Do you think they like country music there?
I'm going to go with maybe. I mean, I'm not 100% on it. Yeah, I mean, they might like it. I mean, they like tunes. So, did I mention they like tunes?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, I've banged on enough about Nashville and their tunes. So, yeah.
So, look, I'm in Bianca's boat. I did not check how to pronounce any of these names.
So good. Yeah,
flat out
Amy,
warning
Amy
you.
Got fucking easy one.
Yeah.
Stephen Bradbury the shit out.
Did. Yep.
Yeah. I did not spell check any names or how to pronounce them.
Easy.
Or cross check any of my references. So everything I say could be wrong.
Yeah.
And I bet it all on 13.
Awesome.
Because, you know, lucky for some.
My best.
So yeah, so tonight I'm doing Santa's Flamingos.
Yeah.
A city in the Dominance Republic.
Yes.
And yes, I did type that. I did not autocorrect that. That's exactly how I typed it.
Excellent.
No dictation here.
Yep.
Yeah. So Santa's Flamingos.
Yeah.
What's it actually called?
Santo Domingo.
That's
which
right.
Which is the capital of the Dominican Republic. And one of the oldest cities in the Caribbean.
Nice.
So yeah. Dating from 1493.
Wow.
When the Spanish settled on the island.
Oh, they were fucking everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Were they ever home?
No.
Was anybody left in Spain when they were off discovering countries?
Probably no. English.
They had a sign on their door saying back in 10 off discovering New World.
Gone drinking. It was probably the French or the English who decided, well, they've left. Let's invade now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Spanish have just left notes on their doors that say, you're a cunt, bye!
Back in five, and the French are like, oh, no, we can't be back in five. We'll put off this invasion for another time, yes. And went home.
They just come back, and, like, the country's full of old English people, like, I'm retired!
Yeah.
Where's my cocktails? I just got
literally
back.
What's happening.
Just found a new country. I don't care. Where's my cocktail?
And they're all sorts of stuff burnt to say.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yep. So, yeah. So, where were we? Oh, yes. The Spanish had settled on the island. And officially, from the 5th of August, 1498, Santo Domingo became the oldest European city in the Americas. Bartholomew Columbus, Christopher's, I believe, younger brother, founded the settlement and named it La Nuva Isabella after the early settler. Oh, fuck. I don't even know what I've done here. Oh, yeah.
You missed the word Anne, which makes way more sense. I did to myself earlier too, don't worry.
Yeah. After an earlier settlement in the north named after Queen, after the Queen of Spain, Isabella.
This sounds first. Like this starts like the sound of a plot from Monty Python. Bartholomew Columbus, his younger brother.
That's a made up name.
Yep. Yeah. So in 1495, it was renamed Santo Domingo in order of Saint Dominic.
In honor of either. Yep. Did you say order? In order?
In honor.
I heard honor.
No, in honor.
I was like, Order of St. Dominic. I'm like, this is a fucking new Harry Potter story. I'm in.
Harry Potter and the Order of St. Dominic.
Harry Potter and Santa's flamingos.
No, in honor.
The Order of Santa's flamingos.
It's their Christmas special.
Oh, God. Oh, shut up now.
Okay. So Santo Domingo came to be known as the gateway to the Caribbean. And the chief town in Hispaniola from then on.
I love how you said that. Hispaniola.
Hispaniola.
Love it.
Really wish I was kind of Spanish, but I'm too fucking white. Anyway.
Yeah.
In June 1502. Santo Domingo was destroyed by a major hurricane. And then the new governor, Nicolas de Ovando, he had it rebuilt on a different side of, so that was the Ozama River. So he went, it's been destroyed. Fuck cleaner. That up. Let's just rebuild it over there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's that just works. Pick this shit up. It's got some good we're just fucking move it up the hill or over the river.
Over the river.
We're done with this. Yeah.
Yeah. I literally looked at the pile of rubble and went, fucking fine. Do what I mean.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fucking hurricanes, I tell you. Yeah. So the original layout of the city and the largest portion of its defensive wall can still be appreciated appreciated today throughout the colonized zone. Declared a World Heritage Site by the UNESCO. I did have a thing for that, so it's the UN something of the something something.
Well, that they were the words coming straight out of my mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth. You knew I was going to ask, hey, Sarah, what does that mean?
Yes.
So, you still didn't research it.
I did. I just forgot to write it down.
She remembered the first two words, and I'm impressed.
It's the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization.
Well done.
Oh, you googled that fast. Well done.
I left the page open from where I got most of my information. Yeah, because I knew there was going to be something I'd forget. And that was it.
And Amy's an arsehole.
Yes. So, look, I do skip a lot of errors. So, because there's just so much fucking history in this thing. So the first major slave revolution in the Americas occurred in Santa's Flamingos during 1522 when enslaved Africans led an uprising on Diego Columbus's sugar plantation. So Diego was Columbus's son, Christopher Columbus's.
Yeah, Columbus's son. There's already a Bartholomew. Could have been Bartholomew's son or Christopher's son.
It was Christopher's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was on, his sugar plantation. And then in 1586, a privateer, Sir Francis Drake, captured the city and held it for ransom.
That name sounds so familiar.
So he was, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Because that was the first I'd been. Maybe he's in one of the Mills and Boone's novels. So the English thought he was an English soldier. Then occupied the city for over a month and captured much booty along the way. Sorry. Booty. Along with 25,000 ducat ransom before departing on February 1st. From
fucking pirates.
1795. Yeah, well, there was a lot. There was much English people involved in that.
They wanted to know where all the Spaniards had gone, so they went, no, we'll go find them. It'll be right.
Yeah. And then they found this city and went, we'll stay here for a while. Holiday! So, from 1795 to 1822, the city changed hands several times. Along with the colony, it headed. And then on the 27th of February, 1844, Santo Domingo was again the capital of a free nation. When it gained its independence from Haiti, led by Dominican nationalist Juan Pablo Duarte. I think that's how you say his name. Don't know. Is how you say it now. The city was a prize fought over by various political factions over the succeeding decades of everything. Sorry, I'm skipping through everything I've written because I've forgotten where I was up to. Yay me! So the city was struck by another hurricane. Zenon? No. I always got one of those little thingies on it.
Which means something.
It means something, but because I speak English, I'm ill-educated to know what the little thingy means.
And it means something different in every language, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So after it was struck again in 1930, which caused major damage. Major damaged?
Yeah.
Major damage.
That's your new nickname.
My brain is major damaged.
Don't worry about Fornax. Your name is major damaged.
No shit.
You are no longer Fornax.
Oh. Okay, so after its rebuilding, Santo Domingo was known officially. Say it.
Major damage.
As I can't say this because I just don't know how to pronounce it. Bianca, try to pronounce that.
Ciudad.
Ciudad? Trujillo? Trujillo? Ciudad, Trujillo, Duo.
Or would that be a Trujillo?
Trujillo? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I should have really checked to see how these things were, you know, fucking pronounced. So yeah, so that was renamed that Rafael Leonidas Trujillo.
Rafael Trujillo,
who was the governor in 1930. So he really named it after himself. And then following his assassination, I've lost the ability to speak again. Following his assassination in 1961, the city was then renamed back to Santo Domingo.
Yeah.
Santa's Flamingos, which would have been better. So, yeah, the city does have a really big history and it would take me, like, freaking hours. And reading it all, I just skipped over so much history when I was reading about it because there was a lot, like so much.
Yeah, Yeah, I just dumbed mine down so much.
Yeah. I didn't realize Santo Domingo was such an old city with such a rich history.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to their weather. They average, their highs average, I should say, is in the low 30s. So around, you know, between 30 and 33 degrees.
Ah, see, I'm melting.
Or in the high 80s if you're talking in Fahrenheit.
Oh, yeah.
Record high being 39.5 Celsius and 103.1 in Fahrenheit, which still lower than Canada's recent high of 49.
Jesus!
What? Sorry, Canada, you are melting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a really huge high. It was like nearly 50 degrees.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jen, are you okay?
Heart goes out, fingers. Oh, nasty.
I'm just hoping Jen's okay. I haven't seen anything.
No, she's further the opposite. It was more towards Toronto than where she is.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to say where she's here, but yeah.
Jen, if you're not okay, we'll send help. It's fine.
Yeah. Jen, if you're not okay, please let us know. We will send help.
Think twice. I mean, I haven't kidnapped our fan.
So, yeah, back to the weather, which we'll talk about.
That's where we were going for this.
back to Flamingo's weather. Okay, so their average low is in the low 20s or high 60s if you're looking at Fahrenheit. And their maximum, well, their record low is 11 degrees Celsius or 51.8 Fahrenheit, which, yeah.
That was what it was today in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's their record low. So it's a nice, it's pleasant weather. I wasn't
even thought that. Like, that's not even, it's hot all the time. That's it. In my mind, it's never cold.
Yeah, it's. If we go, can we go during their winter?
No.
Why not?
I want sun and beach and cocktails.
It's in their 20s during winter. It will be sun and beach and fucking cocktails.
No, that's still beans and it's t-shirts. I still want to wear layers. I don't want to wear layers. I want to just lie there and get brown.
I don't want to be sweaty.
But you won't be. You just sit in the pool.
Yeah, sit in the pool.
There's shit I want to do.
Like what? Sit in the pool?
Well, if you shut up, I can talk.
Okay.
So the city proper of Santo Domingo is subdivided into incorporated areas or neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Which are like sections. Yep. Which could be considered as small towns, and all sections are served directly by the municipal mayor's office. So they're pretty much all run by the same mayor. So you've got your city, which is the oldest part of the city.
Right.
My arms are flying about trying to work out where
the city.
Yeah.
And two earth
things. Yeah. So that's like your old colonial time area.
Yeah.
And then you got your Insatchny?
Insatchny.
Yeah.
Insatchny, yeah.
Yeah, Insatchny. The widening.
Yeah, it's definitely Insatchny.
Insatchny, yeah.
I'm crying.
Yeah, that's usually but not always applied to the more modern parts of the city. And then you've got, if you can hear that, I'm sorry, the rabbit is trying to dig her way to Santo Flamingo. Then you've got Villa, which is the village, which is the urban outskirts of both the old city of Santo Domingo and the current newer district. But interesting to know, the northeast quadrant of the city is the poorest, while the southwest is the wealthiest. So you want to stick somewhere towards the middle, where you got your upper middle class.
Yeah, because we like slumming it, because that's where our people live.
Yeah.
Okay, so things to do in Santa's Flamingos.
You wrote it as Satanas.
I did.
Satanas. Satanas. So, well, we've gone a completely different direction, Flamingos.
I've gone more to the Spanish musical side of things. Satanas, Flamingos. You know what? I'm pretty sure Satana might have flamingos. Who knows? Anyway.
That's Santana. No, you're on Satana.
Shut up. I'm doing this shit at work.
This is great. Keep going.
Yeah.
Number one.
Number one. The Three-Eyed National Park.
Yep.
Three-Eyed National Park or the Three Eyes?
Three Eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. The Three Eyes. I'll say it however I want. Shut the fuck up. You too, rabbit. Shut the fuck up.
All right, back of the cage.
Yeah. She's in her cage. She's just trying to dig to China. So that is a group of interconnecting cages. Okay, I'm going to have to stop. Fucking rabbit. Bear with me 2 seconds.
That's what we've got, Amy. No, Merlot, just, oh, would you like some of my glass? I'll have some of your glass. This is lovely, yes.
Both of these are pretty shit, but if we mix them together,
yeah,
shit, but we're real drunk now, so it's fine. Yeah.
Because it's Merlot and Merlot, and surely it's the same thing. It's fine. This is all good.
Oh, dear Merlot.
And we're in Speedos on the beach again.
And somehow our Merlot has little umbrellas in it.
Like,
yeah.
What? This is Sarah's fault for making us go in winter, because Merlot's our winter drink.
Just, we have, like, systematically just lost the plot, Bianca and I think we're tired.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get back in our interconnected cages.
Yeah. I'll get back in your cages. Let's see if I can finish. So, yeah, things to do in Santo Flamingo. Keep calling it Flamingo. Santo Domingo, the Three Eyes National Park, a group of interconnecting caves near Santo Domingo. It will take you about 3 hours. Set aside 3 hours of your day to do this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw the pictures. It looks
like caving.
It looks beautiful. Zona Colonial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like stepping back in time. So this is the older part of the city.
Oh, I love these tours.
So it's got its cobble streets, buildings that date back to the 1500s. You will see the first cathedral that was actually built in the Americas there.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It has a lot of history, like a lot. Nice. The Agora Mall, now they are the first LED, or LED, certified shopping center in Central America and the Caribbean. What LED means is leadership certification, thank you, in energy and environmental design. It is a green shopping mall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've seen buildings like that. There's one in Sydney that's just, yeah, that same thing. Like, it's environmentally designed. It's got plants all the way up it.
Yes.
So it runs its own cooling and heating systems because of these plants and stuff. Yeah, and so it uses
electricity.
Yeah,
It's completely environmentally sustainable.
Awesome. I didn't know they were the first. That's awesome.
Well, in the Caribbean, yes.
Yeah.
And Central America. The National Botanical Gardens, which is pretty much that, a botanical garden. It has different sections, beautiful plants. I looked through a lot of photos for it. Looks absolutely amazing.
That's a nice shrub. That's a nice shrub.
Yes. Oh, I like that bridge. That bridge really works there with that tree and the river and shrubs. Like it. Yes. Museo de las Casarriles, which is a museum.
Yep.
Pretty much. It's an old building that is a museum.
I love it. I love it. I love that shit.
Basilica. Basilica. Basilica? I don't know.
Basilica.
Basilica? I don't know. I don't speak other language. I barely speak English, people. Cathedral of Santa Maria la Minor, which is a cathedral. And the Monasterio de San Francisco, which is a monastery that was built between 1509 and 1560. It is a ruin. It's not an actual monastery anymore. It's the ruins. Very important ruins. They sometimes have music festivals held there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so much of the music.
I'm so fucking down for that.
Yeah. So that was just a few things available. If you do have kids with you, why are you crazy? Take kids overseas on a Why take kids on overseas holidays? Unless you're Amy, who does that.
Yeah.
And then your Deb's crazy.
All the time.
Definitely crazy. But if you do have kids, they do have a zoo you can visit. I know Amy's opposed to going to zoos.
It depends where it is. Like, we went to a zoo in Japan, actually, and it was actually pretty good. I was pretty impressed considering it was in the freaking Tokyo.
No, that one's good. Do your research. Definitely. Yeah. If you're going to see a zoo, don't just go because some asshat who's getting a kickback at the hotel or resort says, go to this zoo. Now, do your research because it may not be ethically okay to go do that. And, yeah.
From what I saw in the pictures, the zoo didn't look too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly don't know anything, so I can't even comment. But yeah, I'm just saying, do your research.
It sounds to me though that like with their Agora Mall and things like that, they're very much into conservation. I understand that it's not a big country, is that right, Sarah?
Well, it's not big, but it's populated.
Yeah, so I've got a feeling if they're already taking steps into things like, you know, being certified in energy, environment and design, then, you know, their conservation of their natural animals or their native animals, I should say, is probably something that's high on their list. If that's where their values lie, then that's probably something.
I'd agree with that too.
Also, let's not forget beaches.
Yes.
I mean, you're in the Caribbean.
That's why I'm here.
That's
in my speedo.
In my speedos.
I probably need to shave my legs.
And I think we should get two more speedos each, so we have to have three so that we can fashion the other two into a bikini top. Yeah.
All right. So this is where I'm ending my segment tonight. There is so much to this city, and more than I originally thought. But I don't think Bianca really wants to edit a 3-hour episode. It's already like one and a half hours. So, yeah. So I'm ending my segment here.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I took over someone's segment last week. I think it was Sarah's. So, do you want to close this out?
Yeah, I can.
You did.
So I've had so much fun researching this topic, which actually I did. I had so much fun researching Santa's flamingos. I apologize. I keep calling it that, but I've really grown attached to the name.
Keep calling Nashville Nasty Nashville because it's on another podcast that I listen to. And I've never been there, so I'm not calling it Nasty Nashville, but in my head I'm still doing it.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you have any topic ideas, let us know. We would love to hear like other topics you've come up with. Our topics aren't always great and we do struggle with coming up with shit. So please.
Just a list of words that you want us to try and say. We're down for that too. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to hear me say weird words that are probably really basic, but for my brain, doesn't compute. Let's do it. I'll make you laugh. I'll make myself laugh doing that.
Down for that.
Please.
Yeah. I'm already sending an email right now.
Yeah. Your emails are invalid. So, but if you do want to send us an email, you can send it to FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com for all your, I don't know, questions, comments, topic suggestions. And to everyone who has listened to this and is currently listening to this at the end, I would be surprised.
Oh,
but congratulations. We would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our rubbish. And we hope that you have found us entertaining and are not using, please use, all the facts that we have discussed in this recording to make important decisions on your vacation plans.
Especially buying a Speedo.
Yeah.
Do it.
Be wary about the Speedos, people. Be wary.
Just do it, mate. Everyone's yeah. That's fine.
So we'd like to thank you all and good night.
Yeah.
Or good day. Have a nice life. Shut up, rabbit.
Bye.